With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Tuck Snort Baseball Podcast is brought to you by MyBookie.ag. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and an all-new mobile site that makes wagering on the go a breeze. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 100% bonus by using the promo code DUCK. That's promo code DUCK. MyBookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid.
This is a Boardwalk Audio Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Duck Snort Baseball Podcast. I'm Waylon McQueen.
I'm Joe Weber.
And there's no Greg Nix today.
But we do have a special guest.
We have a special guest. You may remember him from a previous episode, Yankees fan, comedian, writer Matthew Brian Cohen.
Yes. Hello. Thank you
for
having me.
Thanks for coming back.
Of course. Glad to be back in October baseball.
When did we have you on the first time?
This would have been like, I think, right as the season started.
Yeah, it was like April or May. Yeah. So, but before we get started any further, I should say that we'd like to thank Boardwalk Audio for hosting this podcast. And if you want to help support us and Boardwalk Audio, go to boardwalkaudio.com/ducksnort. Click on the support our artist link. That'll take you to amazon.com and you can make a purchase. Doesn't cost anything extra, but a little bit of the money will go to Boardwalk and then to us, which sounds real nice.
That's super nice. And we also want to give a shout out to Moonbounds for providing the music for us.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's all the housekeeping we need to do.
Isn't, what was the other one that provides music for us? Something with boy and girl. In
Man,
it.
Greg's, we're really disappointed.
We'll do
Greg
it
right
end.
Now.
Don't we do it at the end?
Yeah.
We'll Greg, we'll do it at the end. Listen to the end for the other music credits.
All boy, all girl.
All boy, all girl. Yeah. Yeah, more music. Great. So some more things fall apart when Greg's not here. We don't know where he is. He disappeared. And we're doing this ourselves.
He's just like spouting gibberish and like pulling his hair out. And he said, I gotta go.
Yeah. And he just got on his jet ski and jet skied out of here.
Yeah.
So, Matt, we are recording this on a Saturday, which is rare for us. So by the time you listen to this Tuesday, might be a lot that happened, but we just watched the Nationals beat the Cubs for game two, which is depressing. Do you have any opinions about... first of all, I know you're a Yankees fan. I'm going to say the Yankees for the end. Do you have opinions about the National League, or are you like an American League guy?
No, I'm mostly an American League guy, but I think Cubs would be my National League team, honestly.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it would be like that, or like I guess the Mets, but it's like the Mets are so depressing, and like Mets fans just bum me out. Like, they're just sad people, like very like hateful, bitter,
Jerry Seinfeld
masochists.
Types.
Yeah.
Do you think it's because of the Yankees?
I guess it's like I think you're like living in the shadow of like a great organization with like tons of championships and just has like a storied history of winning, and you're like the other New York team. You're like the loser New York team, and like the Mets are just full of like, we came so close and then we fucked it all up, and we have no one to blame but ourselves. They're just like, they're losers. They're just, and I think even Mets fans will tell you like the Mets are losers. Like, and when they win, it's in spite of themselves.
Yeah. It's kind of like a Cleveland Browns situation.
Yes, for sure. Yeah.
Only if, like, the Patriots also played in Cleveland. do you think that if the Mets would have won in 2000, that would have changed at all? Or do you think that would have been a blip on the radar?
That's interesting. I think they would have had to have won, like, a couple times, like, in that sort of era to be like, oh, this is the Mets. You know what I mean? I think people would have been like, oh, this is, like, a fluke or something.
So they would have had to like maybe sweep them or like win two in a row or two out of five.
Have a strong like playoff appearance like the next year or something like that. I feel like if they just won in 2000, it would have just been like, oh, the year of the Mets, 2000. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it was 86, right? 86
when they beat
Mets.
The Red Sox.
Yeah. Like that's not like a Mets era. That's just like, oh, that was a fun year.
That's true.
Like, that's not like, you know what I mean? They're not like known as like this was the dynasty or whatever.
And so what sucks, because those Mets teams were good, because that was like Doc Gooden and Daryl Strawberry. Mm-hmm. But yeah. What sucks is it's so tainted by drugs.
Oh, yeah.
And what happened to Doc Gooden and Daryl. So I think that they can celebrate that. But the fact that the Red Sox have now won a World Series and now it's so like heavy drug related, like mm-hmm. they get zero respect for them.
But you get Metsmerized, which is such a great song. Honestly, that song is an all-time classic. Maybe the best sports song ever.
Have you heard the new Are You Ready for Some Football?
No.
It turns into like a trap song halfway through.
Interesting.
But it's still Hank Williams Jr. and some like young country rap crossover dudes.
Huh. Would you say it's better than Get Metsmerized?
I haven't even heard Get Mesmerized.
Oh, my God. Get Mesmerized either.
I would love, like, put this in right now. Or if you do not have the rights for it, listeners should pause the podcast, YouTube Get Mesmerized, and it's so great. If you ever wanted to hear, like, the 86 Mets kind of rap,
definitely
check
era?
This out. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Like Super Bowl Shuffle era.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a Lakers, 1987 Lakers rap album. And it's just like that, and it's horrible.
People trying to rap in the 80s is so terrible.
And you look back at it, and it's like, I could have written shit so much better. Like, I could have been a rapper in the 80s.
I went down a crazy, what's his name? The Belushi, not the good one.
Jim.
I went down a Jim Belushi Saturday Night Live highlight rabbit hole.
Oh, wow.
And he had a character, and the whole bit was that the character rapped.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't good, and it wasn't funny, and I think that like the joke was that it was him rap. Like I think that was the main thing that people were laughing.
Oh,
at.
For sure. In like I guess the mid '80s, that would have been more novel because like I think hip hop really didn't hit a mainstream appeal until like the early '80s. Like it started in the 70s.
Or the early '90s. You mean?
Or no, I think it was sort of in the culture in the.
Oh, so you're saying it's 80s. Just now getting?
So wait, when Jim Belushi was doing it on SNL in the '80s, right? Yeah. So I think that's when, like, just the novelty of someone rapping
I see what you're
is
saying.
Funny
yeah.
or exciting. Like, whoa, someone can rap.
Yeah.
Someone's going to be like, I went to school today, and I'm going to eat some hay.
Yeah, like, it was like basically.
Wow.
He would always be like a character. He'd be like a stereotypical Italian mobster guy, and just like it basically would be like, I'm eating spaghetti. I'm getting ready. And that was like the whole. Uh-huh. Joke.
And it was Jim Belushi?
It was Jim Belushi.
When was he on SNL?
He was on during the time that, like, when everyone had left and Lorne wasn't doing it, like, the early 80s. And, like, when Joe Piscopo was on and, like, before or during Eddie Murphy even. Like, right after John Belushi died, basically.
Yeah. So they're like, we need another Belushi.
Yeah. There was a Belushi clause in the SNL contract. Anyway, So Mesmerized, that's the big recommendation.
Yeah, oh, for sure. It's great. And it, I think, redeems the Mets, all their pathetic losses forever. that one song is brilliant. And I would say, like, as a Yankees fan, I would trade at least three World Series championships for...
Three of your 27.
Yeah.
For,
we got a couple to spare.
Like the 62 one you can get rid of.
Yeah,
no one
whatever.
Ever talks about the 62 Yankees. Why would the Cubs be your National League team?
I don't know. Honestly, I think it goes back to when I was a kid. The Encyclopedia Brown books, they shot, I think it was on HBO, like an Encyclopedia Brown TV show. And he always wore a Cubs hat. And so I liked Encyclopedia Brown. And I was like, I guess I like the Cubs now too. So I remember getting a Cubs hat. And I remember getting like made fun of, like gently teased sort of by like friends and like older even family members. Like, why are you wearing a Cubs hat? Like, why do you have a Cubs hat? I'm like, oh, the Cubs are cool. Like Encyclopedia Brown.
They are cool.
Yeah.
So
I like was like, oh, the Cubs will be my National League team.
Oh. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's a good reason. I was just trying to think if there's anything. Is there anything else in your life that popped up that like you like when you were a kid for like a weird reason? You know what I mean?
That I liked for like a weird
reason. Well, you know,
reason.
Like you liked the Cubs just because Encyclopedia Brown wore a Cubs hat.
Maybe, and this is, I guess, the first thing that came up, a roast beef and ketchup sandwich.
Oh, God.
I liked it kind of ironically. I remember... I told my like grandma, she's like, what do you want for lunch? And I was just like, roast beef and ketchup. Like, I just said that, like, to kind of be a little shit, I guess. And she was like, you don't eat that. Like, there's no way. I'm like, I will. I love that. That's like my favorite.
Just to be like, a little shit.
Yeah. And she was just like, no, you're not going to eat that. Like, that's gross. And I was like, no, I like those. And then she's like, all right, I'll make it for you, but you better eat it if you love it. Like, she called me out.
Was it like sliced like deli roast beef? Or was it like, okay.
Yeah.
That's not so bad. I had a very strong reaction at first, but the more I thought about it, the more
it
makes sense.
Honestly, it's not that bad.
It's not that bad.
No, it's not crazy. It just is like a little unusual. Yeah. But it's not like you would put ketchup on like steak. So it's like, why not on roast beef? I liked it. I was like, oh, this actually isn't that bad.
Yeah.
And then I would like, I remember eating that as a kid after that.
You still like it?
No, I haven't had like a roast beef sandwich, honestly. I'm like, over a decade, I feel like.
Really?
It's just not, it's no longer a deli meat that I go to. I'm more of a like turkey if I do like, deli meat. Yeah. Or like salami now. I'm kind of salami.
I'm kind of into salami.
Yeah. Have you ever had a salami and cream cheese sandwich?
Ew, no.
Oh, it's great.
No, I have a strong really negative reaction towards that.
Do you like cream cheese?
Only on like a bagel.
Okay.
It's just cheese, dude.
when we were in Europe, we were eating. We ordered some potatoes, and I was eating it, and I was like, "Whatever's on these potatoes is good." And my wife was just like, "That's sour cream," and I was like, "Oh," and I thought I hated sour cream.
In Europe, it's cream fraiche.
Yeah, it's cream fraiche. I was like, "This isn't sour cream." She's like, "Yeah, no, this is sour cream. You like sour cream?" And I was like, "Oh, okay,
that's great."
So sour cream's good.
Yeah.
Did you have anything when you were a kid that you got into?
Just a salami and cream cheese sandwich.
That's good. When I was in school, we always had fried shrimp for school lunch sometimes.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
We had French dips too.
Wow.
And all this stuff that I didn't realize until I was an adult that like weren't normal school lunch things. But it always came with like a white bread, peanut butter, like half sandwich with the shrimp.
Peanut butter?
Yeah. For some reason, like every time you had shrimp, like, I guess, I don't know what requirement, but it was always, like, just a triangle of white bread with peanut butter on it. But we all started dipping it in cocktail sauce. And to this day, a peanut butter sandwich dipped in cocktail sauce is, like, one of my favorite things.
Wow.
It's so good to me. It goes so well together.
I'd try it.
Yeah, give it a shot next time.
I would try that.
Yeah. Give it a shot.
Yeah.
It still holds up for me. Like, I won't, like, go out of my way to buy cocktail sauce, but if for some reason cocktail sauce is around or if, like, we bought it for a reason, I'll be like, oh, yeah, a little peanut
butter. Here's something I did by accident, like, a couple months ago, and it's my new favorite thing. I had, like, a cup of coffee and, a cup of Coke, and I got them mixed up and drank, like, one after the other, and it was delicious.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just caffeine, kind of.
Yeah.
Water-based.
Yeah. And it's sweeter than normal coffee.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I was doing back and forth between coffee and beer quite a bit in Europe.
Yeah. Like, same time?
Not, like, pouring them in my mouth at the same time. But yeah.
Like Stone Cold Steve Austin style.
Because we bought way too many beers before we flew home, and we were like, we got to just drink these. So I was drinking this all the time. Great. So you're a Cubs fan because of Encyclopedia Brown.
Yeah.
This is going to be the tangent episode. I'm just going to label it.
Sure. Yeah. And Wrigley's a great park.
Have you been there?
Yeah. I was there one time a couple years ago. I did a show, like a festival in Chicago. And we were like, oh, we got like a free afternoon. And we're like, oh, let's go check out a Cubs game. So like went to a Cubs game and it was so much fun.
Who were they playing? Do you remember?
I don't remember. It's funny if you don't remember. I honestly don't remember. This was like 3 years ago. So
Were the scoreboards like was the big video board up?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly.
I could be wrong though.
Yeah.
It's like a fuzzy memory. I remember the Cubs game.
And you remember the having fun experience.
I got a hat again. I have another Cubs hat because we were like in. I want to say we were in like right field. And so the sun was just like beating down. I was like, gotta get out.
Do you ever wear or can you wear other teams' hats?
Yeah, I'll wear. I wore my Cubs hat. I remember I got yelled at. I wore it. My fiance, soon to be wife, who I'm marrying in a couple weeks. We went to Pittsburgh where she's from, and I had a Cubs hat on, and they got very mad at me.
Oh, yeah, like, that's a huge, it's like a huge no-no.
Yeah, plus I was like, I just want to wear a hat.
Yeah, that's true. No, you're a Cubs fan. Just wear
that. So then that prompted, I didn't have a Yankees hat, really. Now I'm like kind of more a hat guy now. I like wear hats more. And I was like, I can't pull hats off, but I think I can pull hats off now.
I think you look, I've seen you in a hat.
Yeah, I've seen you in a hat.
I think
yeah.
you look good in a hat.
Thank you. Yeah. So I was like, oh, I should get a Yankees hat. And I like floated that idea to my fiance and then as a like a birthday gift, I believe. She
Ooh.
Got me a oh, nice. Yankees hat.
Do you usually wear the flat brimmed ones with the sticker and the tag still on them?
No, that feels too cool for
yeah,
me.
I can't pull that off.
I can
off
never leave the sticker on.
No.
I can wear flat. I've got a little flat.
When did that change the style from the kind of curving the brim to the flat brim?
I think early 2000s.
Okay.
I got the vibe that like when I had the, because I have some of my old hats are curved.
Uh-huh.
Like when I moved out here that it was like a Midwest thing or like a white hick like farmer thing.
Yeah.
Like that, like a Republican thing. Like that would like peg uh-huh. you as like a certain.
Especially if it's like square. You know, you ever see people yeah. with like the square, they pull yeah. it down real.
Yeah.
So a lot of times I'm just like, oh, that must have just always been flat in the city. And where I grew up, it was never flat. But now it sounds like it used to always be curved.
Yeah, no, I remember growing up and like having hats and like everyone just being like, yeah, you curve them. That's just
yeah.
what you do.
You and put, like you put a baseball in and like wrap the like,
oh,
rubber
yeah,
band
yeah,
around
yeah.
it.
I remember kids doing
shape.
That. Yeah, it was just, and it was went through throughout ethnicities or racial yeah. The divides. Like everybody just
Everyone
did that.
It.
That was just like what you did.
So probably like in 30 years, it'll be like that again.
Yeah, or we'll be wearing space hats or something yeah. that'll like float above our heads like a few feet.
They don't provide
that's
any.
Super practical. Yeah. That is cool. So the Cubs Nationals, as we speak, right now is 1-1, but it will be, by the time you listen to this, game 3 will have happened and maybe game 4, depending on what time Tuesday. But you're rooting for the Cubs, you'd say?
Oh,
still?
Yeah.
Still?
Oh, for sure, yeah. Over the Nationals, I have no stake with the Washington Nationals.
You have no opinion of them either way?
No.
Well, what about the Dodgers, Diamondbacks? Do you have opinions about
I guess because I'm in LA, I guess it would be nice for the Dodgers to win. But I don't really like root for the Dodgers or care about the Dodgers. I think they will win. That is my prediction. I think they're a better team.
Yeah.
But it is like, I think in playoff situations, it's kind of up in the air.
Yeah,
you know
who knows?
I mean?
They looked good their first game. They're up 1-0, as we know. And again, mm-hmm. three games will have happened.
And they're playing tonight.
Yeah, they're playing tonight. Do you think, as a Yankees fan, let's say that, because right now as we speak, the Yankees are down 0-2.
Yes.
We'll talk about that. But let's say they rally, they win 3 straight against the Indians and get to the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
From just a point of view of like who would, not necessarily who you want to meet because you'd beat them, you know what I mean? But like who do you think is like would be the most fun World Series for the Yankees?
Oh, well, for sure the Dodgers, because then I would have a shot of
going
like
to a game.
Go to those
yeah,
games.
That's true.
Like without
that's a good point.
having to fly to New York, I would be like, yeah. I mean, obviously those tickets would be insane, but I would be yeah. like, I would try to get a see World Series, which I've never seen live. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that would be cool. And Dodgers would have home field advantage, so there'd be games 1 and 2 and then 6 and 7 if they needed them. So those would be cool games to
yeah,
see.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So, yeah, I would root for Yankees-Dodgers. But if I think, like, the team we have the best shot of beating, maybe, what, like Diamondbacks maybe?
They're really good. I think They're the Nationals good. Would be the team.
Interesting.
Or Cubs. I think the
Nationals
picked the Diamondbacks to win the World Series last week.
Yeah.
I'm an idiot.
yeah, I don't know. I don't think I don't think that's happening.
16 years later, would you feel like this is like a revenge thing against the Diamondbacks, or have you put that behind you?
Oh, no. Yeah, I don't really care.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was like the story of that would have been great, you know what I mean? Because
yeah.
that was, yeah, like 2001.
Yeah,
and everyone was like, oh, yeah, we're all New Yorkers
yeah.
now. But it is just
we're
like...
We're all Phoenicians.
yeah. It doesn't really matter.
Doesn't matter.
I don't think Yankees fans hold a grudge over the Diamondbacks.
That's nice. I feel like they don't...
Yeah.
The Diamondbacks don't need that
no,
from the Yankees.
For sure. No. But I don't know. I think Washington just has like a really good offense, and I think the Yankees' weakness might be just starting pitching. And I feel like... I don't know.
Yeah, that's big time weakness.
Yeah.
I feel like Nationals actually have really good pitching, too. I hope the Cubs can beat them. Maybe they have by now, by the time you're listening to this live.
Yeah, who knows?
Should we take a break, Joe?
Yeah, I think we could take a break.
Take a break here. All right, we're going to take a break, and we're going to keep talking to Matthew Brian Cohen here because he has a lot more to say about the American League. We barely talked about the Yankees. So we'll be right back on Duck Story.
Hey guys, want to give a quick shout out to our episode sponsors, MyBookie.ag. We really appreciate their support. They're a great site for sports betting on the internet. Let's see, what can we tell them about MyBookie.ag, Joe?
Well, I got a question for you, Greg.
Give it to me.
How do you like your bonuses?
I think I like them in cash and paid right away.
Well, you're just in luck because mybookie.ag pays in cash, 100% cash bonuses. And that's all I have to say about bonuses.
That's all you need to say about bonuses, really. Cash, get them right away. What else is there? So visit mybookie.ag, join now, place some bets, and mybookie will match your deposit with up to a 100% bonus using the promo code DUCK. Guys, that's like half of our episode title. It's not even a promo card code that you need to spend much time remembering. It's so
definitely
easy.
Not a promo card. But just go to mybookie.ag, put in the promo code DUCK, and you're going to get a bonus.
Free so it's money, really, baby.
Very easy.
Baby, free money. All right. MyBookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid. Duck Snort is also brought to you by Sport Crate. With Sport Crate, you'll be able to celebrate your favorite team by receiving officially licensed MLB team gear and collectibles delivered right to your door. Each crate contains hand-curated items designed to help elevate your fandom. And Joe, let me ask you something. How am I doing at reading this copy so far?
I think you're doing great.
Okay, good, because I'm going to dive into more of it. Sport Crate is like your personal equipment manager, except they won't wash your sweat stains. Join now and stay connected to the team you love, no matter where you are. You can save... really killed it. I was doing so well.
You're doing great.
Downgrade me to a B. You can save $10 with your subscription by going to boardwalkaudio.com/sportcrate and using the code SPORTSCRATE10 at checkout. And I want to clarify, this was not great planning on our part or on their part, but the URL is boardwalkaudio.com/sportcrate and the promo code is SPORTSCRATE10. So one is singular and one is plural, but... if you get it right both times, you'll save $10 on your subscription to Sport Crate. Thank you to them for sponsoring us. Good?
B minus.
All right, welcome back to Duck Snort here with Joe still. How you doing, Joe?
I'm good. A little bit tired.
Yeah, it's a tired day. Tired
yeah,
weekend.
It's bounce back. To 90 degrees here.
Unbelievable.
I'm ready for it to go.
It's supposed to snow. I have friends that live in Denver, which is one of my favorite cities in the United States, and it's supposed to snow this weekend there.
What's your favorite part about Denver?
I like the vibe. I know that sounds crazy. It was like the nicest place I've ever... Have you been to Denver?
I love Denver.
It was I'm from the Midwest, and it felt like nicer than anywhere I've ever been in the Midwest.
Denver is one of my favorite cities. Yeah. I truly love Denver.
Have you been
Denver.
There?
Never.
Oh,
I really recommend it. It's great.
It's great.
It's a really fun town.
Is it something like if I just wanted to pick up one weekend and go fly over there for like $50, could I do that?
I mean, it's going to be a little more than 50, but yeah.
What if I want to just spend $50 and get
to
Denver?
I don't know if you're getting to Denver for $50.
Is it a city that you can just go to for a weekend and have a good time?
Yes, I've done that.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, definitely. They have like just like a cool, fun downtown, but also like everybody's super chill. There's beer. Yeah. Everywhere.
For some reason in my mind, everyone from Denver is like has like fringy leather. Is that
no. That sounds like South Dakota or New Mexico.
Yeah.
Are you a fan of like hiking or outdoorsy stuff?
Oh
too?
Yeah,
because yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that would be like Denver is like people wearing North Faces and having those like things on top of their car.
Yeah,
that
and, like,
carry stuff.
Yelling about Nuggets games.
Yeah, Nuggets, that's the number one team in Denver.
Yeah.
And it's also like, I remember going there and I think like, oh, if I live here, I feel like I like hiking and stuff, but I never go to the ocean in LA. I'll never do any of
sure,
that.
Sure, yeah.
But then I went to Denver and had a my wife's uncle lives there, and he showed us around, and he was like, "Oh, I'll show you the mountains," and we were in the mountains in like 12 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, "Oh no, I probably could do that." Like there was parking,
yeah.
And I was like, "Oh yeah, Denver's great."
I love it.
Why do we start talking about Denver?
I
don't know. Oh, because it's snowing there.
Oh yeah.
Great. So we'll move on to the American League now. Let's start. I'm going to say the Yankees for very last. Is that okay?
I love it.
The Astros and Red Sox.
Yeah. I mean, I'm rooting for the Astros there,
yeah.
Even though I do feel like potentially a Yankees-Astros matchup is harder for the Yankees than a Yankees-Red Sox.
That's what I was going to say. Is like you're stuck. I would be stuck a little bit between a rock and a hard place for you because the Red Sox are way more beatable.
Yes, for sure. I think if divorcing myself from my Yankees fandom, I would pick Houston, I think, to win the World Series.
Oh, really? Houston?
Yeah.
Just because they could just hit so well.
Yeah, I just think they're a good team. I think they've got a lot of momentum on their side. I don't know.
What's the series at right now? 2-0?
2-0 as we speak. So it could be over by the time you hear this, too, because Game 3 is Sunday.
Yeah.
And I don't know how the Red Sox going to... Like, the Astros look so good.
They look so good, yeah.
Yeah.
I think the potential... This is no offense to you, but the potential Indians-Astros playoff series could be one of the better series.
None taken. I mean, yeah, we're down 2 games. It's going to be really hard to win 3 in a row against the Indians, who are a very good team this year. And yeah, I don't know. Like, I do think Cleveland could beat Houston in that matchup. I mean, Cleveland's great. I mean, their pitching is fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. I still give the edge to the Astros, but I don't know.
I think that's
a
good edge.
Yeah.
I like it.
What's Encarnacion's status?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen. Did you see the play?
Oh, that was nasty.
It was so bad.
Yeah.
Oh,
he
man.
just right on second base just rolled his ankle.
Yeah, and then he was like laying there, and it looked all floppy.
Yeah, yeah. Katie watched it and went, oh, that's broken.
Yeah.
I don't think it is. They said it was sprained during the broadcast yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to be out for at least the series.
Yeah, I can't imagine him coming back. I really can't.
I haven't even decided who I'm cheering for because I hate the Indians, but they're fun to watch. But I also don't like the Yankees,
right.
So I keep going back and forth. But I don't like, even if it's the Cardinals or anything, I don't like when like a key player gets injured in the playoffs.
Yeah, it feels a little like stinky.
Yeah, if the Indians lose, I want them to go down thinking they
honestly.
Can't say, yeah, they can't say like, oh, Encarnacion's out.
At least it was one of those that was like, oh, this just was like a fluke. It happened. It wasn't like...
someone getting beamed or like a collision, which always sucks. Great. Let's talk about, we'll talk about the Indians and Yankees now. First, let's just talk about the series, and then I have some Yankees questions for
sure.
You. So we just, last night when we were recording this was the 13 inning game?
I believe 13, yeah.
That the Yankees were up 8-3 in the sixth,
mm-hmm.
and then Lindor hit a grand slam, and then Bruce tied it.
Yeah.
And then Gomes. What was going on?
I mean, it was definitely a game. I mean, going into it, we were like, how are we going to take out this pitching? Like,
it was Kluber. It was a Kluber game.
Yeah, it was Kluber. And like, I think coming off of the loss, Bauer pitched a fantastic game. Like, it was just like, okay, kind of like, I don't want to say halfway through the game, but like definitely like 3/4 of the way through. It was like, this, we're not hitting tonight. We're just like, we got to chuck this up to a loss. So it was like, Game 2, it felt like off to a great start. Like, Sanchez hit was it 2-run home run? I think, yeah, Judge walked.
Yeah.
Sanchez hit
a
2-run home run, like, very early. And it's like, he's beatable. Like, we got to him. Like, he's off. And it was just like, we can go. We can win this one. But, yeah, then it was just, and, like, Sabathia was, like, a little shaky, but he kind of managed to, like, hold it together. And I was like, I think we can do this. But, yeah, it was, like, was it the 7th? I forget when did that. When Chad Green was brought in, and then that questionable play.
Oh, the grand slam was the 6th.
Was the 6th?
And
okay.
And I think the questionable play that we're talking about is, I don't remember who the batter was.
I don't remember either, but he was hit by the pitch.
But he probably wasn't hit
by
the pitch.
But he was not, and they should have challenged it, but Girardi claimed after the game that they didn't get the footage to see if it was close or not, like if it was challengeable. Which is weird because Sanchez was like, he wasn't touched.
And that's the thing. I read this somewhere when I was reading about it. It's like, Joe Girardi was a catcher.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why wouldn't he listen to Gary Sanchez immediately?
I don't know. That's a very weird decision. And I think there's a thing going on now in New York people are kind of calling for Joe Girardi's head over that, which I think is
reactionary.
Very reactionary. I mean, it's classic New York. Something goes wrong, everyone's like, fire this guy. Like, that's just how New York is. But
how do you feel about Girardi?
I mean, I like him. I've always liked him. But I think, like, I think he has, like, faults, like I guess everybody does. But it's like, I think practically, like, who are you going to get? Like, who's going to manage the Yankees?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you, because wasn't the big thing that it was going to be Girardi or Mattingly?
Yeah.
Do you think they made the right decision there?
Yes, for sure. I love Don Mattingly as a player. I don't know if he'd be a great manager.
That happened with the Cubs with Ryan Sandberg. Mm-hmm. Like, he was being groomed, and then they're like, we're not doing it. And then he, like, went to the Phillies.
Yeah.
But it's like, he's still not managing. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, because Mattingly's just managing the Marlins now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I just don't know who you're gonna get.
Do you think Girardi could? Let's say that the Yankees win this series, but Girardi, in spite of Girardi, do you think that he can manage himself out of a job during these playoffs?
I mean, I think if he did manage himself out of the job, he already did. It was game
that
two.
That was it. That was it.
Yeah. I mean, if they win this series, I think that'll mostly go forgotten.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, but, so then he'd be starting back at zero.
But, yeah, I mean, that looks unlikely. I don't know. Three games against the Indians is going to be tough.
Well, at least you're going back to the Bronx.
Yeah.
By now, this could all be moot.
Yeah.
But
it is, who knows? I mean, like, Tanaka is pitching game three, and I think he's been on lately after struggling for a lot of the year. So if he pitches well, I think we have a shot to win that one. And then Severino is really good. He blew it against the Twins.
He'll be third in the Cy Young.
Yeah. But that start against the Twins. Oh my God. That was brutal.
That's not very heartening.
No. I mean, I think it was, and I think Yankees fans, I think, can take comfort from the fact that I think he was just very nervous and excited. Mm-hmm. Like, and not even like nervous, like scared, but like, just very excited, like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to pitch really well. Yeah, I'm doing it. And he's like 23, you know what I mean? Like, so I think he just like had the jitters. And I think if he were to pitch a game four, he would be more relaxed and he'd be more on, is my hope.
Going into the bottom of the first of that Twins game, how were you still hanging on to hope, or were you pretty defeated?
I was very defeated just because he was pitching terribly. And I was like, this is how we throw it away? Just like a couple home runs. But then it was like, the bottom of the first, Didi hitting that 3-run home run was just like, we're back. And I was like, we got this.
He crushed it.
Yeah.
As soon as he hit that, I knew the Yankees were going to win.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I was like, I think I didn't really turn the game, but I think I was like watching the game. Mm-hmm. And it was the first thing I know, but I was like,
yeah,
nah, I don't know how much more of this game I had to pay attention
the
to.
The highs and lows of that first inning were insane, because it was just like, oh, my God, you just knocked out our starting pitcher, like our ace, essentially.
Yeah.
Half an inning, like, how are we going to piece this together? And then it was like Didi hitting the 3-run home run. It's tied up. And it's like, I think we can do this. But still, how are we going to piece it together? It was like, Green's got to go long. But Robertson, I think Green delivered. Like, he came in, I forget if it was bases loaded or two guys on. It was something. It was just a very high-pressure situation. And he pitched beautifully. And then, like, Robertson was fantastic. Like, he did great. Yeah.
That bullpen is terrifying.
Yeah.
It really
so good.
Is.
That addition of Robertson is fantastic.
It's like, I follow baseball pretty closely, but I have a hard time naming. I can name pretty much all like the closers or the big, like, but I can't go like at the Yankees. I can name like seven of the relievers, I feel like.
Yeah.
I mean, usually you can name a lot more Yankees anyway, but they're just all so good.
Yeah, Chad Green has been fantastic.
Yeah,
that guy is great.
He's like made for the playoffs. Like, he's made to be a playoff hero, so it's too bad that he's not probably going to be able to go super deep.
Yeah,
like, he could be the Andrew Miller of this year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
But man, that, what a heartbreak. I think if I was a Yankees fan, Torres, right?
Gleyber or
yeah, getting picked off.
Oh no, sorry, Torres.
Yeah.
Okay.
Torres getting picked off would have been the moment that I would have been most furious about.
You
think it was Girardi, the no challenge for Girardi?
Yeah, I think that was like loaded, like in retrospect. I mean, the grand slam was really like, I think if it wasn't a grand slam, it would have been like whatever, but obviously you look back and it's like, oh, this is the thing that put it within one.
Yeah.
Gave them a lot of momentum within striking distance when it was like, it was like 8-4, right, I believe?
It was 8-3 when he hit the grand slam.
Okay, it was 8-3. Yeah. So it was like, yeah, 8-3 is like fine. We can five runs, but then you hit a grand slam, and now it's like, oh, they're back in this game.
How deflating.
Yeah. And then it was like tying it up. It was like one run. It was like the eighth, right?
Yeah, that burst it.
Yeah. It's like, okay, we can hold one run, and then tying it up was like, that's when I knew. I was like, we're going to lose this in extra innings. Like,
yeah.
It just
is
like
13, though.
Yeah.
8-8 game, and it just kept going. Chapman looked good.
Yeah. And he's been, you know, shaky sometimes. But yeah, he pitched well. It was just like, it's just hard, I think, for a visiting team to win in extra innings, obviously.
Yeah, that's tough because it just takes like one or two
hits.
And then Yan Gomes ripped that one down the line.
Yeah.
So here's the general question I have about the Yankees for you. How bummed are, I mean, obviously you're going to be bummed, but is because they're kind of on the, they're going up. They're trending up. Is this a huge bummer if they lose this series, or is it more of like, okay, we made it to the playoffs, this is cool?
No, I would say the huge bummer for me would have been if we lost to the Twins.
Yeah.
That's what I've been like, oh, come on. Like, this is going great. I obviously will be bummed out, but the fact that this team is better than they should have been is really encouraging.
Because you're going to go to next year feeling pretty great.
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, I think this is a great team, and I think there's like only a couple tweaks you can kind of make, but it's like a really great core. I mean, the fact that like in New York media they're talking about like there's a core four.
Ooh, who's now? A core four? Sanchez and Judge.
Judge, Gregorius.
Oh yeah.
And then I think are people throwing in? Why am I blanking now? Oh, Greg Bird. I think people.
Oh, Bird's part of the core four. New core four.
Yeah.
No pitchers, though.
Yeah, well, I think people are very high on Severino. Yeah. Obviously, I think he's groomed to be like the next starter. But yeah, I think people now are very high on Greg Bird. Like, he's the first baseman.
Oh, it's going to be crazy if the Yankees get good again.
Yeah. I mean, I think they are good.
Well, they're good, yeah, but if they get...
Can they get great?
It's going to be great again.
I think they can, yeah.
Okay. Well, you have anything else to say about the Yankees? Do you have any questions about the Yankees?
No, I have no idea what's going on. I'm going to go to sleep right after this.
You are.
That's fair. Yeah.
It's too hot.
It is so hot. Mm-hmm. It's annoyingly hot. Okay, so last time you came on, we played.
This is fun.
Yankee or not a Yankee.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go back and listen, so I don't remember everyone we named.
Okay,
but
that's fair.
Do you want to play again?
Yeah, I would love to
play again.
Let's just go over what makes a Yankee real quick.
Yeah, can you define it?
You know, it's funny because it's a very ephemeral thing. I think it is like, you have to represent the spirit of the New York Yankees, which is a certain selflessness and putting the team first and a desire to win above all else.
Over personal
glory. Like, it's not about being a star player. It's about contributing to an organization.
It's basically the opposite of Alex Rodriguez.
Oh, for sure. He is the anti-Yankee.
And Derek Jeter is the shining example of what a Yankee is.
I mean, it's the alpha and the omega. You know what I mean? The yin and yang.
Is there a better example than who a Yankee is than Derek Jeter? Like Mickey Mantle? Is he
one? Yeah. I mean, you go back and I guess it's like, like Lou Gehrig. You know what I mean?
So I think it goes like Gehrig to Mantle to Jeter. I mean, obviously...
DiMaggio.
Oh, yeah, Jody. Yeah, I think he's in there. Like, obviously, probably maybe Yogi Berra.
Yeah, I mean, like Don Mattingly.
Mattingly, he filled that, but he just wasn't quite as great as...
Well, the thing is like, he just never won, you know what
that's
I mean?
That's true,
like,
yeah.
They never won the big one with Mattingly. And then he left the year before, 95.
But they have Jeter and Rivera, the original core four, really. So that's it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I just wanted to rehash for the listeners.
Yeah, I feel like, I think we talked about this last time, I feel like, Joe, you're a Packers fan.
Yep.
The culture of the Yankees and the culture of the Packers, I feel like, are pretty similar.
I think so. I think Packers are, like, a little bit less, or, like, more humble.
Well, they're more, I think they're, like, more the Midwest
style. They're just, like, nice guys, and they're strong.
But, like, the team culture is, like,
nice,
you can't, I feel like you can't go to the Yankees unless you're Alex Rodriguez, really, and like, they're not gonna put up with like any bullshit. Like, the Cardinals are like this too. It's just like, you gotta go and just be part, you gotta be a Yankee.
Yeah.
And the Packers the same way. I feel like you can't be like a big show off player with the Packers, or they'll be like, we don't, like, they're not gonna, they would never have gone after like Terrell Owens or Randy Moss
no,
or anything.
Definitely
like,
not,
even though they could have made their team better. I think you have to, like, there's a certain expectation you have as a Packer.
Yeah,
and you got to handle like the New York media.
That's the big. That's a big difference.
Is like being able to handle the media, which a lot of people can't do. But if you're like on the Yankees and you're doing well, if you're a good player, it's like they're talking to you and they're grilling you, and you just got to be like copacetic.
I think that's what shot Jeter into the.
Oh, for sure. Yeah,
I think that's what did it for him.
He was like a nice, humble guy. Like, knew how to talk to reporters. Like, never came off like an asshole.
I even think if Derek Jeter had like Mike Trout's personality, which is just basically no personality, then he wouldn't have been as revered.
Yeah.
Even if he was exactly as good and made the exact same crazy plays.
Yeah.
Just but the way he handled the celebrity. He's just a game. He's a perfect face for.
Yeah, I mean, and then like Aaron Judge is like feels like cut from the same cloth.
Okay, yeah, totally. Like, that's a perfect transition because after one season, Aaron Judge, Yankee or not a Yankee?
I mean, for sure he is. It is like obviously it's like we will see where his futures lie. I mean, if the Yankees are smart, and I think they are smart, you do everything. You got to keep this guy, like because this guy is a star.
So this is already. What if next year he hits like 245 and that's pretty low, 260 and only like 32 home runs and strikes out and his walks go down? So like I'm kind of neutering everything that made him good.
Yeah, if it's like but he, you make like, him worse.
What if he was, remember he had that like, what, 6 to 8 week slump?
That slump, yeah.
What if that?
Oh, for sure the home run derby like messed him up a little bit.
You think that's what it was?
Yeah, I mean everyone's like, it's not going to mess him up. And it's like, and Girardi was like, it didn't mess him up. But it for sure messed him up and made him like, think like, I got to keep swinging more. I got to be more aggressive. I got to like hit more home runs. But it's like, man, what made him great was like he was so patient and like he would take those walks.
The most 3-2 counts in the league.
Oh, they do not let you forget that.
They watch the Yankees game so much.
Yeah,
from that.
But it is true. I mean, yeah, and he walks great. I mean, you look at his numbers. Like, I think this guy's the MVP.
You think he's MVP?
For sure. Yeah.
I can't argue again. I picked Altuve. But
I mean, yeah, right? And like, I think you could go either way. I don't think
I think it's fair to like. I cannot argue with anyone thinking Aaron Judge is the MVP. There's like, I have no real argument. My only small argument is that they're kind of equal, and Altuve plays like a more important defensive position.
I think that's fair.
Which is really the only. Which isn't really even Judge's fault.
Yeah. No. I mean, they're both viable candidates. Whoever wins. Assuming it's going to be one of those two.
Oh, it has to be. I don't know who else it would be. Jose Ramirez? I don't think it'll be Jose Ramirez.
No.
So Aaron Judge is a Yankee, or do you think that he's just a Yankee in waiting, but he just
needs to
put the time
in? No, for sure. Like
in.
This year and the way he's stepped up. I mean, like he's got now I just forgot the name. The Judges Chambers, right? Like that they like
and the All Rise.
Yeah,
call.
That they put that up. Like this guy is a Yankee. Like. Granted, he could like blow it, like, but I don't think that's going to happen. And it like almost has nothing to do with like his numbers. Like, he could get worse and still be a Yankee as long as he remains like humble and gracious and like team focused and is like trying instead of like putting up big numbers to like, just I just want to like get on base.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. Yeah. He has to be a Yankee. What a debut.
I mean, it's 1 year, so it is like if you saw 96, you're like, is Jeter Yankee? And it's like, yeah, but like nobody could have predicted like his career. Well, I don't want to say nobody, but like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't know, but it's like, yeah, it feels like it for sure. I get the same feeling watching, like growing up watching Derek Jeter that I do now watching Aaron Judge.
That's so cool because like... Yeah. You might not ever get that.
No, yeah, who knows? Yeah.
I didn't have that ever really with anybody with the Cubs until Rizzo and Bryant both kind of together. But Sammy Sosa was fun, but I was never like...
Yeah.
He was always like, you know...
Well, again, like he's somebody, he's like a star player. Like he's like above, he's not like in the trenches. He feels like that was just a guy who was like hitting a bunch of home runs.
Yeah.
Do you think Todd Frazier is a... Yankee.
Yeah,
interesting. Honestly, this is what's I mean, it's like also it's like it is too soon to say, but like this guy feels like he's in it. I mean, like that thumbs down thing is like cool.
Yeah.
And it like,
can you explain that in case, because I feel like that's a definite Yankee thing, but it hasn't necessarily gotten national
for
attention.
Sure. So there was a game, Rays game, Yankees Rays game at Citi Field because of the hurricane, so they had to move it, and they played in the Mets ballpark, and Yankees were hitting, and there was a guy in the stands that the cameras focused on. It was this kind of like bigger guy with suspenders. He kind of looked like George R.R. Martin a little bit.
Yeah.
And he just had like a really sour puss on his face, and he just gave a big old thumbs down. And then Todd Frazier saw that. This was after, like, I think Todd Frazier hit a home run or something. And apparently this guy was like a lifelong Mets fan and just like hates the Yankees. And was just at that game and was just, yeah, silently thumbs down. And so then Todd Frazier picked up on it. And then every time he got a hit, thumbs down. And so then it like spread throughout the Yankees of like, that's what we're doing.
That is pretty cool.
We get a hit, just thumbs down. And it's like, it's just cool. Like that's that just cool. Like a cool organic thing.
The Yankees seem to be having more like the Yankees
fun.
I'm used to when they're good are like the kind of we've been there, we've done it. Like,
yeah,
those
no.
teams were had fun. The Jeter, Tito, or uh-huh. Tino teams were fun, but like they definitely had the air of like, oh, we're the best.
Yes.
Team, and this team I like
a little
young,
scrappier.
It's a little
younger.
Scrappier, younger.
I like it. Yeah.
I think they're enjoying knowing that they're like becoming the next great Yankees
yes,
team.
Yes, for sure. They're like, we can do this. Like,
yeah.
We believe it. And there's like those kind of, I think, key veterans who are like
yeah,
pushing it along. Like Sabathia, I think, has been really helpful. Holiday has been like, I think everybody talks about like how much he's helped them with like their hitting.
Yeah, so that's, they are a little more, they're a lot more fun to
yeah,
watch.
Okay. And they're doing the, like, or the, after a Yankee hits a home run, they like, interview them in the dugout, like they grab a makeshift camera, like a Gatorade.
Oh,
like
yeah,
thing.
I saw that.
And like, and it's kind of like heightened to the point where like Starlin Castro is like holding a bat as like a boom.
Wait, is that
like
how long have they been doing that?
I would say like less than a month.
The Cubs also started doing
really that. Interesting.
And I only knew it as a Cubs thing.
Oh,
so now I
yeah.
wonder who did it first.
Yeah, I don't
and
know.
Ian Happ
yeah,
started it for the Cubs, but
like
that
a,
doesn't mean that he didn't steal it from the Yankees.
Yeah, I mean. I have no idea. But yeah, it's a,
it is
fun.
A
fun little thing.
It's a fun
yeah.
little thing. Yeah, yeah. I like yeah. all that stuff.
Yeah, and it's heightened to like now they're making it feels like their own like cameras on like a shoebox. Like it just feels
oh,
like.
Oh, that's the Cubs didn't go that far.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think the Yankees, I'm going to give the Yankees a victory on that bit.
Sure. But okay. Todd Frazier, I would say like he is like on the edge. It's like, again, I think it's contingent. Like, does he stay with this team?
He's,
or
yeah. In my mind, he's like the opposite side of Judge, where Judge is like innocent and humble,
mm-hmm.
but still feels like a Yankee. And Todd Frazier seems like he might like trip you.
He's a little bit
like,
of a bad boy.
yeah. yeah.
He's a White Sox.
That's yeah, but
and
still
you know,
like very
he's
Yankee.
Like a New Jersey guy. So
yeah.
I think we got to give him that edge too.
I see. That's a good edge.
And he grew up like loving Jeter. Like that's like the big thing on
cool.
Todd Frazier is like
yeah.
New Jersey guy loving
okay.
Jeter.
Aroldis Chapman, Yankee or not?
No.
Yankee. What if he wins a World Series with him?
No.
Even as he gets the last out of World Series? No. Never?
No. He's just not a Yankee. Ball? Like he doesn't have, like I think he's too much of a, like even like, I mean, this wasn't his fault or whatever. But it's like, yeah, you know, he was went to the we traded him to the Cubs and he went back, and it just yeah. feels like, yeah, this is just like he's just a journeyman pitcher. This
yeah.
is just a guy who goes where the money and the glory is. You
are,
know what I mean?
Are any of those great relievers that they have this year? Would you consider any of them Yankees?
Like again, I think we need some more longevity. Like Dave Robertson, like I think
he feels the closest.
Feels the closest. Chad Green, if Chad Green sticks around, yeah,
yeah. Betances,
you know, I can't confirm either way.
Yeah.
He's on the borderline. He's borderline.
That's the thing that feels weird is that there are no pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Andy Pettit or even
no.
Mike Mussina.
No.
Who I think last time we determined Mike Mussina is a Yankee.
Is,
yeah.
yes. For sure. And so Pettit is
well,
hard.
He's
yes.
like.
Yeah. Yeah, like, yeah, no pitchers. You know what? I would say Sabathia is.
Yeah?
Which is weird.
I feel like he like went through a lot of personal stuff as
uh-huh.
a Yankee, and the Yankees like stood by him in a cool way.
Yeah.
Like, because he went to AA, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like took some time. They let him take time off and
yeah.
like, the weight stuff. Like,
yeah. The thing that swings me on Sabathia being a Yankee is I feel like the way he talks in the media, he's very much like, it feels like he likes the organization. Like, he really has like a love for playing
yeah.
in New York, and he's like, let it be known, like, I want to play here next year. Like, he's just like, I want to play here. I think this is a good team. Like, he was fighting for Judge's MVP. He's like, this guy's been, like, really valuable. This guy stepped up. He talks a lot about, like, other players on the team. And I think he has really, like, taken a shine to the role of, like, I am a veteran on this team. Not a team leader, but, like, a guy who sets an example for younger guys. And
yeah.
also, like, will make a case for younger guys and, like, talk them up.
That's pretty cool.
So
that
I think
cool.
he's, like, a good mentor. Like,
And there's got to be something going on because it would have been really easy to release him
mm-hmm.
in a lot of different times.
Yeah.
And he's still, I mean, he started a game and he yeah. pitched well.
Yeah.
Okay, the next, do you have another one?
Let's do like a lightning round real quick.
Oh, mm-hmm. I just had one more real quick.
Okay.
But then we can do a lightning round. Okay. Jeffrey Mayer. Is he a Yankee or not a Yankee?
I mean, he's not a Yankee. He never put on a uniform.
Yeah, but,
like.
You know.
But, no.
He helped the Yankees.
No, he didn't.
Do you know Jeffrey Mayer?
I don't know who
he
that
very
is.
Famously reached over the wall. In Baltimore? Was it mm-hmm. in Baltimore?
Yeah, it was an Orioles game, yeah.
Was it in Baltimore or was it in the Bronx?
It was in, well, he was a Yankee fan. It was in the yeah. Bronx, right? Yeah.
And he reached over the wall in 95.
It was a Jeter home run.
So it was the year before they won. Or was it the World
Series?
No, it was 96?
No, it was.
It was definitely Jeter.
It was 100% Jeter. Was it 96? It could have been 96 or 98.
Oh, it wasn't 98, so it must have been 96.
Okay, yeah.
Because he reached over the wall. Like, they were playing the Orioles, yeah. and the Orioles were like a powerhouse in the mid-90s, as hard uh-huh. as that is to believe.
Cal Ripken Jr.?
Yeah, like the end of his career, kind of.
Yeah.
He had like 5 or 6, but like still at the end. But then it was like when Brady Anderson was, it was the year he hit 50.
Okay.
And they were good. And a kid, like 11-year-old kid, reached over the fence and grabbed a home run and brought it back that Jeter hit.
Yeah.
Yes. It was like a game either winning or lead home run. And that basically, that moment started the Yankees dynasty.
It was 96.
It was 96, yeah.
Yes.
Like, because they won that game, and then from then on, it just seemed like the Yankees were never going to lose again. And it was clearly a robbed home run. Like, it would have been reviewed today and turned over. But
yes,
they didn't
for
have
sure.
Review.
Yeah, but they didn't have it then. Yeah.
But it was also like a kid, so you couldn't be like that mad at it.
Yeah, it was a little
but
kid.
But people attributed their winning to this kid?
I mean, no one thought it was like, there's, but just like, they won that game,
it was
and
just
kind
like
of
a,
like that game was like the turning point of the Yankees of that year, and they won the World Series that year, and then they won in 98.
So was he like a reverse Steve Bartman?
Mm-hmm, kind of, yeah.
Okay.
But he was a kid, but so you couldn't be, like the Orioles weren't that mad at him, but yeah. It was like a crazy moment. Yeah, I just want to know if he was a Yankee. He's just a, but he's like a, he's a Yankees, he'll go down in history.
Yeah, I mean, it's a, like, look, he didn't really do that much. You know what I mean? They would have won that game.
Wow. I would make him a Yankee.
Did you see that video of the Giants fan grabbing the ball that was still in play? I think it was from last week.
Yeah.
And he just got let out, and he looked so embarrassed.
He was like, because he instantly knew what he did.
Yeah.
It's got to be tough. I mean, something's coming at you, and like the instinct is... Let me catch it.
There was that thing in the game yesterday, the Yankees Indians game, about the ball getting thrown into the camera well, and a cameraman like basically reached up to block the uh-huh. ball from coming in.
Yeah,
and that was a whole deal.
Yeah,
and that cameraman looked embarrassed.
Yeah, I mean, that was. What's
like
game.
You can't let your camera get hit. It's like a $100,000 camera.
Yeah, there's no way. Yeah. Or like your face.
Yeah.
Cool. I know that wasn't a lot. I don't have like a ton off the top of my head.
All right, I got just a couple real quick.
Let's go.
The Mooch.
Oh, not a Yankee. What are you?
Not doing? A Yankee?
No, not at all.
He's too obsessed with like himself.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, everything he's doing is about himself and putting his own interests first. Like, this guy has no loyalty to anybody. He's a total fucking scumbag.
Okay. Bam Margera.
Bam Margera, yes, he for
he
sure
is?
Would be Yankee. Yeah,
he's a Yankee.
Loyalty to his friends and his crew. This is a guy like I think when he reached stardom, it was like all about bringing his friends up and doing it like his crew together.
Yeah.
Like he for sure represents the New York Yankee mentality.
The guy at Venice Beach that rollerblades and plays guitar.
Does he wear a Yankees hat?
No,
a Yankee.
Not a Yankee.
No.
Okay, just crazy.
Yeah, or just doing his own thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Could somebody, I have one more question. This, I don't have anybody in mind, but could, like, if Derek Jeter got arrested for, like, having a sweatshop, like, tomorrow.
Like, owning his own sweatshop?
Yeah, he owns, like, 4 sweatshops, and he's
4.
A slum lord. Like, if you found out that he was just, like, the slimiest piece. He was like OJ after OJ was found
It wouldn't
not guilty.
Make him not a Yankee, but it would make me like him a lot less.
But you get to stay a Yankee if you
retire.
Look,
they retire your number, you're there.
Okay.
You're a Yankee.
Cool. We'll end there.
It's time to retire our number.
Thank you so much for being here. That was great.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
That was great. Baseball talk and some tangents. Thank you, Joe. for
yeah,
letting us
thank you
record here. We're recording at Joe's for the first time ever. It's
oh, great. Can I do a plug?
Is oh yeah, fair? Do a plug.
Sure. So I have a new podcast coming out called Scary Town. It's going to be out in a couple weeks. It's going to on the What's a Creative Network. So if you just search Janice Presents Scary Town.
Is that with Adam McCabe?
No, it is not.
Is that with Betsy?
That is a different podcast.
Okay.
Oh, no.
That's fine.
Sorry.
Don't listen to that podcast until they
no,
come on
don't
the show.
Listen to that. Listen to this one first.
Yeah, no, this is a serialized fiction comedy podcast about a narrator of a young man who goes into a very weird town called Scary Town that is bizarre and stupid and encounters a bunch of stupid, insane characters.
That sounds really
great.
Fun.
Yeah, that sounds cool. Fun. I think I love serialized podcasts.
Well, you're gonna love
that's
Scary Town.
Love Scary Town. I think that's a great step forward for podcasting.
Totally.
Thank you.
Can't wait to hear it. When does it come out?
In a couple weeks, so in like
nice.
2 weeks.
Have you been recording some episodes?
They're all done. All oh, the can. We've wow. got a wow. season worth. We have a whole nice. Narrative thing.
That's
it's
fun.
Six episodes.
Cool. And you're getting married in 3 weeks.
And I'm getting married in 3 weeks.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
In advance for getting married, and thanks for congratulations for coming on the show.
Thank you.
I want to say thank you to Boardwalk Audio and thank you to Moonbounce, all girl, all boy, all girl, oil girl, all boy.
All boy, all girl.
I'm blowing it.
That's okay.
Greg,
it's all boy, all
come
girl.
Back, Greg.
Greg, we need you back. He's at a bluegrass festival.
Typical.
I know. All right, well, tune in next week where we'll have some more analysis. By next week, all of the DS series will be over, and then maybe some CS series was started. So next week with more Duck Snort.
Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit BoardWalkAudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.